As I've shared, this last passage is about missions. And that's the context. Now, remember, the original Greek manuscripts did not have the verse numbers. Those were added later. But they did have the paragraph indentations. So those are straight from the manuscripts. And now, some Bibles don't print them. My Bible does. If you see that backwards P at the number 10. Does anybody have that besides me? Some of you. That tells us it's a new section in the passage. And so it's a section until you get to the new P, which is verse 21. So what it tells us is that in the Greek manuscripts, this was considered by the writer, God, and that they're through Paul, considered a contiguous passage. So whenever you're studying Scripture or putting together a lesson, or maybe you're going to preach something, pay attention to those backwards P's, because they are important in determining context. Sometimes you'll see people preach a passage and they'll do before a P and after a P and not from the beginning or the end of a P. And what they've done is they've actually grabbed two passages and made them one, but they're only doing pieces of the two. So you just got to be careful to get the context, because it's not wrong to do what I just explained. You just need to explain it. That the context is so important. And the context of this entire 21 verses, is missions. Missions giving, specifically. Even though we are constantly quoting verse 13, and we're constantly quoting verse 19, two very, very common memory verses for Christians, let's keep in mind tonight what the context is. Amen? So let's start in verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even at Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So God shall supply. Amen. That'll be our title tonight there from verse 19. God shall supply. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd use your word now to stir our hearts, to work miracles in our lives and the lives of those online, because we believe in the power of your word as applied by the Holy Spirit, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so, Lord, may you be glorified and guide us in your truth. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So you saw, as we look at the passage with that in mind, it's all throughout the passage, isn't it? He starts there in verse 10 by talking about how the churches cared for Paul. And God wants his churches to care for his missionaries. Amen? Oh, that was the other thing. I knew it would come up. I talked to our treasurer, and our missions giving is not keeping up with our missions commitment, which is a shame. The reason why it hasn't been an issue is because we've had such a huge surplus, which we're just slowly eating away at. But that's not how it should be. So we are committed to approximately 600 a week, and we're giving approximately 500 a week. So we're falling about $100 a week short. which isn't a lot of money when you spread it out over 40 families, is it? So people on line two, don't be afraid to give another $5 a week to missions. Remember, when you give to missions, it's above the tithe. You need to separately designate it to the treasurer if you do it online. When I give twice because my bank doesn't charge me any fees to do online stuff anyway. I hope yours doesn't. But so I'll give my tithe, and then at the reference for Shane, I type in tithe. And then I give my missions, and at the reference for Shane, I type in missions so that he knows how to designate the $2 amounts. And whatever people give and designate as missions, that's our missions budget. So anyway, now you know it's about $100 a week short. That should be easy as God stirs up God's people. And this is that context that they cared for their missionary, the Apostle Paul. Look at 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 9. And he wants us to do the same. And that's why I don't like that we're eating into our surplus, because it's great to have it there in case we get a prayer letter and we find out there's some giant need that we can have a part in, whatever it might be. Then we've got the money there to say, yes, we'll send them so many $1,000 to help with that problem or that need. And that's why it's nice to have a little bit sitting there. But notice 2 Corinthians 11, verse 9, it says, "And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I've kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself." Remember, Paul, what he's saying is that when he visited the Corinthians, he was very careful to not take anything from them because they were very spiritually immature. And he said, "Even while I was ministering to you there in Corinth, some messengers came from Macedonia," which is where Philippi was, "and brought me some help so that I could keep ministering to you in Corinth." And so God wants this from his churches. He wants his churches to care for their missionaries. And Paul then, of course, reminds us that in his ministry, as in the ministry of any missionary, there are ups and downs. There's times of feast and times of famine. And he says that, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound." He says, "I've experienced both. I've experienced being abased. I've experienced abounding." He says, "But I've learned whichever it is shouldn't affect my contentment, because God is always going to put me where I need to be as far as what I have." We need to learn this contentment thing. And he says in verse 13, wow, anybody ever heard this verse before? "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Well, if we take that in context of the entire chapter, what he's saying is the things that we've learned in this chapter, if we are practicing moderation, if we are practicing joy, if we are practicing trust or no anxiety, if we are practicing peace and gratitude, a godly thought life, and as we just read, contentment, then I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. If we're not living for God, we can't claim this verse. If we're not walking in the Spirit, we cannot claim this verse. We can't just be living in sin and not living for God and then say, "But I can do all things through Christ." No, you can't. Because it's through Christ. And Christ is always the same, that when we're walking in obedience, he will bless us and empower us. But when we're walking in disobedience, he's a loving father. Why would he bless us for disobedience? We don't bless our children when they disobey, do we? And so, yes, praise God, if I live these seven things that we've talked about in this passage for weeks, then I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth. Jesus is the strengthener, isn't he? We should get all of our strength from him. Praise God. It is God that girdeth me with strength, David said. And of course, Jesus said in John 15:5, without me, you can do what? Nothing. So we can't do it without Jesus. But Paul says in verse 10, the churches are to care for their missionaries. And then in verse 14, notwithstanding, you have done, well done, that you did communicate with my affliction. And so, not only did they try to care for his needs, but they also reached out in love and empathy when Paul was going through afflictions. In other words, they kept track of Paul, these other churches, when things weren't going well, when he was maybe getting stoned or thrown into prison. They found out about it, and they would pray, and maybe even someone would come and sit with him and be a comfort to him. Because that word communicate there is talking about the giving of self. It's not just talking about what comes out of our mouths. That's talking about using our hands, using our money, using our resources to be a blessing to others. That's that word communicate there. He uses it again in 15. Ye Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated, there it is again, with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And then we read about what he says there in verse 16. Even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. And so not only are we be caring for our missionaries, but we are to communicate with God's man. And that word is not talking about talking or texting or emailing. It's sharing what we have, albeit physical or spiritual resources. He says, you communicated with my affliction. So he's telling us, if you look at Galatians 6:6, we should be doing the same. We should not just be giving our so many dollars a week to missions, which we should do, but we should be listening to, reading the prayer letters, looking for opportunities to talk to our missionaries, finding out if maybe there's some little thing we can do to be a blessing to them. Now that's communicating. Just, you know, typing numbers on your phone to do online giving, that's not communicating. That's giving. But communicating is when you actually get involved with someone else's life. Notice Galatians 6:6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now that they're specifically talking about the people communicating to their pastor, which we talked about back when we were in 1 Thessalonians, but it's just another example. Those that are taught should communicate to those that teach. But what he's teaching us here is that he wants these churches, and he's using Philippi as an example, to care for their missionaries and to communicate with their missionaries. Notice he says in verse 17, not because I desire a gift. He says it has nothing to do with me wanting stuff. He says, you know what I desire? I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And that's not how we would have typically looked at it, but what Paul is saying is, I want you as a church to learn the blessing of giving. I want you to enjoy it and to grow because of it. That's exactly what he's saying. He says, it's not about me getting stuff. It's about you growing in your faith. Look at Matthew 6, and we'll see it again, verse 20. That's what Jesus talks about when he talks about laying up treasures in heaven. Because what account is he talking about that may abound to your account? What's this account? Well, we can only assume it's an account in heaven, amen? And in Matthew 6:20, what does Jesus say? Lay not up for yourselves treasures in heaven. But lay up for yourselves. No, I misquoted. I was reading verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, right? But verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. How do we do that? How do we get fruit abounding to our account? Well, because God knows everything. God keeps track of everything. And the given it shall be given unto you is a scriptural principle. And Paul is saying, you know what I want for you Philippian Christians? I want you to be laying up treasures in heaven. Fruit that will abound to your account. And whenever you give to me to help me in my mission, that's what happens for you. You're the one that's going to get blessed. I might get blessed for a short time here on earth with some food or some money, but you're going to get a heavenly blessing. And that's what I would like to see. So you can see the whole context here is missions. Paul says, I want you churches, verse 10, to care for your missionaries. And then he says in verse 14 and 15, I want you to communicate with your missionaries. And then he says in verse 17, I want you to grow in your faith. I want you to add fruit to your account as you reach out to be a blessing to God's missionaries. And then what does he say? Verse 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You know, we talk a lot about that word sacrifice. Paul says this is a genuine sacrifice. Not in the sense that maybe it cost you too much, but in the sense that this is an acceptable sacrifice to God when God's people get excited about communicating with God's missionaries. That's what he's teaching us here. Look at Hebrews 13:16, and we'll see this again. There are some sacrifices that man tries to offer to God that don't please God. But this is one that pleases God very much. That's what Paul is saying. A sweet smell, a sacrifice well-pleasing to God. What was so well-pleasing to God that this church at Philippi sent this huge gift of, I'm sure, food and goods and money to the Apostle Paul while he was ministering in Corinth, and he was so blessed by it he had to put it in his letter. Hebrews 13:16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. There it is again. If you want a sacrifice that pleases God, there it is. Get excited about God's missionaries. Amen? So if this is our life goal, if this is what we're excited about, because when you stop and think about things that God is passionate about, here on earth, what would be number one? But that people get saved. Amen? That's why his son came and died and rose again, so people could get saved. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if that's what God's passionate about, then it makes sense he wants us to be passionate about the same thing, which is missions, reaching people with the gospel around the world. So if as a church, if as an individual, verse 10, we're striving to care for our missionaries. Verses 4 and 14 and 15, we're communicating to our missionaries. Verse 17, we're growing as we communicate with our missionaries and laying up treasures in heaven. Verse 18, we're offering up this acceptable sacrifice to God, to our missionaries. He says, if that's the case, let's keep this in context. If that's you as a church, if that's you as an individual, then, verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. People quote verse 19 all the time. And it never has, their quote never has in the context of missions, never in the context of being a blessing to others. It's always just, well, God's going to meet all my needs. Because that's what God does. God does meet our needs. Don't misunderstand me. But the promise that he gave to the church of Philippi here, and thereby to us, is wrapped up in this, the context of being a blessing to missionaries. Let's never forget that. God does supply needs. Hallelujah for that. What does he tell us over and over again? Given it shall be given unto you. Honor the Lord with thy substance, the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 and Luke 6, 38. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God is a need providing God, because what does God have at his disposal? Verse 19, his riches and glory. In other words, everything. Amen? Psalm 50, verse 10. Let's look there. In verse 12, God makes it very clear that he doesn't owe anybody anything, and he doesn't need anything from anybody, because he already owns everything. Psalm 50, verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. Verse 12. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. The world is mine. I own everything. Every beast, every cattle. The farmers would like to argue with that, but God says, I own it all. And because I own it all, I will meet your needs. But what I want you to be is excited about world missions. Because that's why I died and rose again for you. Otherwise, you'd all be going to hell. And that, I want the message to go into all the world so that people can have an opportunity to trust Jesus Christ and be saved from hell. So these riches, I'm sure we can't even imagine what that entails. Look at all the riches we get even before we get to heaven. We get this book. Wow, now that's rich, isn't it? We get the Holy Spirit moving in. That's pretty rich. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's rich. We're adopted into God's family. We become part of a royal priesthood. And that's all before we even leave this earth and go to heaven. Once we leave this earth, think about it, then the riches are just unfathomable. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. We don't even know about the unsearchable riches. Ephesians 3, 8. So God says God shall supply. But let's just keep in mind what it's wrapped up in. We're to care for his missionaries. We're to communicate with his missionaries. We are to be laying up treasures in heaven for his missionaries. We're to be offering up these spiritual sacrifices for his missionaries. And if we'll do that, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Very beautiful. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this beautiful truth in this passage, and I pray that we would be excited about missions. Even our own 9 missionaries, Lord, we'd make sure we know who they are, where they are, what their struggles are, what their needs are. And we'd be praying for those things and looking for those opportunities to be a blessing to them. And Lord, we would just do our part. And we know that in return, you promised that you would give us fruit that would abound to our account and that you would supply all of our needs. So may we understand this program that you've laid out, that it's about people getting saved, and that that's number 1 for you. So thank you for teaching us this tonight, and we love you in Jesus.